Okay, it's 6:01, and we're going to call the public, part of the public library district special board meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Trustee Barry.
Here.
Picaro.
Here.
DeSmit.
Here.
Sias here, Olson.
Here.
Boyer.
Absent.
Absent. And Bailey's absent.
Pledge of allegiance. Pledge of allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Is there any town hall?
No.
Okay. The agenda today, we have three items on there, and the first one is a presentation by Jennifer Erickson, Senior Benefit Consultant at One Digital.
Hello. Having a few technical difficulties, so we will refer to our paper. We will go old school. We will do that. All right, so my name is Jennifer Erickson. I'm with One Digital. I have been the broker with the public library for many, many years. It's been over 15, but I know that. So I'm showing my age now as well. Sorry. But we will go ahead and go through this. There's just a few slides here that I put into the presentation. So, you know, we'll talk about One Digital team for a second. We always disclose our compensation, so that's something that we always include. Then we will go through the renewal and have open discussion. So we've
Thank
got
you,
our,
Mike.
Got our One Digital workforce strategy, our One Digital teams. So you can kind of skip through those. But you do have a full team for public library employees, which Katie and Carolyn know. They can always talk to our team for any issues that employees do have throughout the year. Then we have our One Digital compensation. This is disclosed every year. There are no changes to this. Blue Cross Blue Shield sets their standard commission for brokers, so that's not something that we change. So that is just standard every single year. Then we have our renewal history. So I just wanted to talk about this for a moment. We have had very favorable renewal history over the last many years with Blue Cross Blue Shield. So this is really important to note as we're getting into a discussion about different Blue Cross options and possible changes. So over the last, you know, several years, our average renewal has been way below trend at 3.6%. So that is exceptional. The trend over the last 5 years has consistently been between 7% and 9% every single year. The great part about being with Blue Cross Blue Shield mid-market is we can negotiate renewals, which we have been able to do over the last several years. This year, of course, is an exception. But you will see our initial renewal that we have with Blue Cross and then our finalized renewal, which is that negotiating power that we have being in mid-market Blue Cross Blue Shield. Then you'll see our other lines as well. Again, extremely favorable renewal increases over the last several years. Now the next page is our medical benefits. So you will see that we offer four plans right now. We offer two PPO plans, an HMO plan, which the majority of employees are on that HMO plan because of the generous contribution from the library. Many of them are on the HMO plan. And then we also have an HSA plan. And you'll see in green, we had some changes this year. So if you do renew your current plans, there are just a couple of changes with the HSA, and that is because of the IRS minimum guidelines. So every couple of years, Blue Cross Blue Shield increases those thresholds to make sure that we are consistent with IRS guidelines. So that's why you're going to see those changes. Other than that, these plans that you currently have are basically what's called transitional relief. These plans have not been changed in many years. And if you move away from these plans, you cannot get them back. Blue Cross doesn't sell them anymore. I do have clients that are still on these plans. They don't want to give them up because if you do that, there are significant changes to your benefits. So just really important to kind of talk about going forward. The library has great plans, and I'm sure it's valued with employees. The next page that we have is our renewal rates with Blue Cross Blue Shield. So this year, our rates went up 25 5.5%. The reason for this increase is because of our loss ratio. So you can see at the bottom, Blue Cross Blue Shield evaluates renewal based on three areas of criteria. So first we have our trend, which is running about 7.9%, which is consistent with national information, also consistent with Blue Cross Blue Shield's book of business. The demographic adjustment, demographics actually went down. So YBRA is getting a little bit younger. That's good for insurance. So that is going down a little bit. Now you can see these two factors alone, if we wouldn't have had, unfortunately, a bad claims year, we would have probably received about 4% of them from Blue Cross Blue Shield. But we did have a change in risk this year. So we did have some significant claims, which is where the majority of our increase is coming from. The medical loss ratio over the last 12 months is 184%. A favorable loss ratio is 80%. So more than double what Blue Cross Blue Shield is looking for. And that is the reason that the underwriter would not negotiate with me this year. Is he's like, Jen, we've had a really bad year. Blue Cross has taken a loss. We cannot negotiate this year, which is very unusual, I'll be honest. Usually they'll give me a couple points. I've been with Blue Cross underwriters for a really long time, but unfortunately they were just not willing to buy this year. And then we can see we've got a high cost claimant at over $162,000. And the information here is lagged a little bit. So the underwriter did say he's expecting that to increase and the loss ratio to increase, which is part of the reason that they weren't willing to negotiate. So any questions on this so far?
So I have a question. So even though we're at 25.5%, it's kind of considered an off year. Next year, if we didn't have as many claims or if our loss ratio was lower, then our rates would go lower.
That's correct. And to be honest, it is not unusual to have a bad year every few years. You know, your claims can't consistently run great, you know, for 10, 15 years. It just doesn't happen. You're going to have an off year at some point. So we would expect to see, you know, a higher claims year, you know, every 5 to 7 years, to be honest, is consistently what usually happens. But this is no guarantee of what next year is going to look like. So if the library continues to get younger, which is very possible, and we have some good factors that are coming with that, our claims even out a little bit, it's very possible that we're going to go back to consistent renewals with Blue Cross.
Did the rate come up because of what section of Illinois, or how did they figure out that ratio of 184%? Was that just our library?
Yes. So the 184% is the library's loss ratio, which means with the premium coming in for the library and the claims going out, it's 184% of premium. Yes.
Was this HMO loss?
This is combined across all plans. Yes.
Two questions.
Thank you.
Is there any data that indicates where the 184 occurred? The reason I'm asking the question is, and I don't think this is unusual, but we do have a population, and I don't know whether there are people actually enrolled, that is no longer employed by the library, retirees.
Yes.
They have the ability to continue with their health insurance until, I guess, probably age 65, until they become Medicare eligible.
Yeah, I don't think we currently have any that are on the plan.
Okay.
And I did confirm with the underwriter it's active members. So I always do that when I negotiate. I'm like, let's make sure that the terminated members, that we're not, you know, taking on that loss going forward. So it is for consistent active members. We do have, again, one member that's over 162,000. That was the only one that they disclosed to me, but that doesn't mean that there's not more out there. And I'll be honest with you, specialized medications are getting more and more expensive. So we are seeing, you know, an increase across the board, I would say, with all of my groups, not just Blue Cross, UnitedHealthcare, Cigna, you know, all the insurance carriers that we're working with. there are so many different things going on with inflation as well. Provider consolidations are happening too, which I'm sure everyone has noticed. All the hospital systems in Illinois are kind of clumping together. And when that happens, the smaller providers used to, you know, negotiate with Blue Cross and, you know, they would get paid a little bit less, but now they're with a large hospital and now they're being paid more because they're part of that hospital. So Blue Cross has been doing renegotiations.
Is the 184% loss based on total premiums or total premiums reduced by Blue Cross's markup?
It is total paid, so that is, that does include the discounts. So Blue Cross, typically when a claim comes in, they reduce it about 40%, is I would say a pretty fair number. So when you get that hospital bill for $100,000, Blue Cross is paying that. So they are going by what they truly paid out versus what is coming in.
So it's based on the discounted amount that they're actually paying the provider.
Correct. Yes. That is correct. Yeah. It's a combination of all of the active employees. And we would typically be able to get more information from Blue Cross and kind of drill down what does that look like. But unfortunately, because we have under 50 members that are insured, once there are 50 insured members, Blue Cross gives us what's called Blue Insight reports. And those reports then tell us everything. They tell us exactly what the loss ratio is. They tell us the high claimant information, what drugs people are taking. So unfortunately, we're just a little bit too small to get all of that information. I got as much information as I could possibly get from Blue Cross.
But that's not shareable because of HIPAA.
Right. It would be encrypted. So it wouldn't tell me the name of someone. It would all be encrypted.
It would just be for your benefit to see what plan for that, not for us, but for you.
Yes, and to say, well, sometimes when we see those, the data, we can say, oh my gosh, so many people are going to the emergency room. We need to use that as an education opportunity. Or when we look at all the data, we don't use it, you know, to point out members. But we say, oh, we've got people who, you know, have diabetes, maybe we should bring some more education in regarding diabetes. That's what we really use those reports for. But as well as to substantiate, hey, we've got a lot of these claims. Here's the dollars of all that. All right. And so what we did is we're currently in the mid-market space with Blue Cross, which means that inconsistently with the library with part-time employees, I think we had 50 W-2s last year. So with Blue Cross, they take a look at average total number of employees. So 51 plus is where the library's kind of always been in the 51 rung. This last year, we dipped a little bit. So we've got, I think it's 40-something employees. So I was able to let Blue Cross know that we dipped a little bit into that small group market so that we could get a small group quote from Blue Cross Blue Shield. Now, we went ahead and got a small group quote. The small group quote is competitive. It is about 11% below current rates. But there are many considerations when we talk about moving from mid-market to small group. So I'm going to go over those on the next slide. You'll notice just from the four plans that there are differences in the plans. So you're going to notice the out-of-pockets are a little bit different. The deductibles are a little bit different. Co-payments, also the prescription drug co-payments are different. So when you go to small market, all of those plans are highly regulated. They are changed every single year. So for instance, the $600 deductible plan that we showed, I think it started out at $250 a year.
Which column are you in? There's so many. I don't want to get lost.
The first four plans are on the left side. So those are the plans that the library has now. The second four plans are if we went to small market. So for example, the first PPO, we currently have a $500 deductible. It would go to a $600 deductible, and so on and so forth. And I've got the considerations on the next slide, but there are differences in the benefits. And again, if we leave mid-market plans that we have now, we can't get them back. So that's just, yes.
I have a question. Now you've got 500, like under the 500 and then the 1500. Mm-hmm. Is that if you're out of network?
It's so total.
That is individual and family. So you can see to the left, it's all in-network benefits. Okay. I wanted to show in-network because honestly with Blue Cross Blue Shield, that's what you're going to use, right? So the first two are the PPO plans. We match them as closely as possible on a small group. And then we have the HMO plan. The HMO plan has a different network. So the HMO plan currently has the Blue Advantage network. If we were moved to small group, it would be the Blue Precision network. The Blue Precision network does not include advocate providers. So it is possible we would have provider disruption within the HMO, which is where most of your employees are. Now, we currently do have the advocate providers in the Blue Advantage network that we're in now. They are renegotiating the contract. So it is possible they will leave at some point, but at this point, they are in the network for the plan that you have now.
What does advocate provider mean?
Advocate providers. So providers that are associated with advocate hospitals.
So it's that brand of hospital.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. And there are advocate medical groups that I do think some of your employees are associated with.
There's a lot of people that go with that.
So if we were to change to small group, all of those employees would have to choose new primary care physicians if they wanted to stay in the HMO.
You alluded to the current plan is effectively grandfathered in many, many times over.
Mm-hmm.
If we went to a small group plan and then we straddle that 50 employee line,
mm-hmm.
would that, because you're predicting the future, but would we be able to grandfather in small group to large group or medium group if we went to 50 employees, or you don't know?
So if we went to small group this next year, and let's say that now the library's got 55 employees, so next year at renewal we have to tell Blue Cross, you know what, now we have 55 employees. So what they would do then is they would go ahead and re-underwrite, and then they would give you a new rate for mid-market plans.
Okay. But we wouldn't get the four that we have
not
currently.
Not get the four you have now, because those are virtually closed. I have seen that go sideways, though. I will say whenever you go to small market, there's generally a price decrease. So we're seeing that now with 11% below current. When you go back to mid-market, it's generally 20 to 40%.
Okay.
So, again, the underwriter, unfortunately, will increase it to go back to mid-market. So we could be higher than when we started, unfortunately, if we go back and forth, which I think is one of the reasons that we've been able to stay for the year or something.
But we run the risk, or their staff does, that their doctors may not be in the plan at all.
Correct. And I just kind of put some things together on the next slide. Just as I was thinking, considerations if, you know, moving from mid-market to small market, just so everyone kind of understands. And we went over some of these already. The current plans are closed. We would be able to get them back. Provider disruption. So we have to have all of the advocate, you know, members choose new primary care physicians as of 7/1. Prescription drug formulary changes, and this is a big one. Currently, you are on the basic, what is called Blue Cross's basic prescription drug formulary. So it's the old formulary. So basically, most of the drugs are in the formulary. There are very few drugs that aren't, to be honest. If we were to move to small group market, it is the performance formulary. So we may have disruption with, I don't know what drugs everybody's on, unfortunately. But there may be disruption. So if you're on a specialized drug or a brand name drug, those drugs may actually need prior authorization. So you may have to go through the prior authorization process, or may actually be denied, and then you will have to choose another drug that is on formulary. Yes.
It's possible that if a change was made or kept, that people that are on HMO, they look at the PPO and say, yeah, I may have a $500 deductible, but, you know, I get a lot of things covered, specialties and that. It sometimes is a benefit.
To go from PPO to HMO?
To
to go from HMO to PPO.
HMO to PPO.
I'm just saying, in retrospect, some people don't see that benefit. If they're never sick or they don't need anything, the HMO is the way to go. But if they're finding they need the specialty drugs and they're in the HMO, I would think that they would jump over the PPO.
Well, the HMO and PPO will have the same formulary in small group. So they'll all have the same list of drugs. But, you know, I'm a huge fan of the HMO plan just because there's just co-payments. They don't have to worry about deductibles. As long as they get their referrals in place, they've really got amazing coverage. But we do have the PPOs as well. It will be more of a cost for them because the library is covering the HMO premium as opposed to the PPO premium. But definitely, if you've got a lot of different specialists, the PPO is probably the way to go, or the HSA. HSA is very good. Yes.
My reference was the PPO on the left is current, mm-hmm. and the small group HMO on the right. I was saying that if that was to change, I would think, I'm not saying that's the way we're going, but I would think if we were going in that category to the right on the HMO, at that point I'd be jumping out of PPO plan, you know, so.
There's a cost difference because we cover the HMO and some employees may not be able to afford that cost difference.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I can say as a librarian, I wasn't able to afford, I'll be transparent about that, I wouldn't have been able to afford the PPO plan when I was a librarian, especially now that I have a family. Yeah. So
it's a lot.
I was taking that into consideration.
And I mean, you're going to see, you know, the HMO has a deductible, you know, that it has more of a cost under the small group as a co-insurance. So it looks more like a PPO, but there is still a cost difference between the plans. So it just really depends on.
Who sets up the parameters for what we pay on the HMO? I know the director mentioned that we cover the HMO and when we got our spreadsheet on what we're paying. Who comes up with that number and why would the employee not pay a little portion with the increase? Is that something that you decide, the board approves, or is that something, numbers that you put in on your end? I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, these are the premiums from the insurance carrier. So the contributions would be up to the board. That would be what you decide to do.
Okay. I didn't know if you have helped calculate out those as well. I wasn't sure.
So we currently pay, the board currently pays 100% of the HMO single premium. You could add a contribution to that. So if you're thinking, you know what, we don't really want to go to the small group plans this year, maybe we want to wait and see what happens next year and then make that leap next year if we have to. You could always, you know, you could survey your leaders or you could talk about having a contribution for the HMO employees to kind of help with that cost of keeping the plans that you have in place. So you guys make those decisions about the contributions for employees.
And Katie and I and Mallory and the management have talked about that it is definitely a valuable perk for the library staff because we aren't at a higher pay grade. And we've had people say that if the insurance was changed that they would look or other jobs. This is, you know, one of the reasons that our library is attractive to employees.
So formulary changes. Also, if you change your medical plan, we have to change to a small group dental plan, which I do have in the information as well. It's very similar to what you have now, so that's not as much of a disruption as moving the medical plans. Then I wanted to note that every year with the small group renewals, they don't take into consideration claims. It's just trend of the Blue Cross Blue Shield book, and then it's your demographics. So older, younger, you know, whatever is going on in the library. Average renewals are 7 to 13% every single year.
Under which plan?
Under the small group plans. So if we were to move to the small group plans and you were saying, hey, what do we budget? I would probably say you need to budget at least 7% on the high end, 13%. And then we would get that renewal. Once we get a renewal in small group, there's no negotiation. It is what it is. So every year consistently, the book is getting, on average, probably most of my groups are getting on average 10%. So, you know, like I said, the library's had such a great track record over the last few years that I just wanted you to know that if we do go to small group, we would want to budget in at least 10% every year on the small group. And then if we did go ahead and get a United Healthcare quote, it was not as competitive as the Blue Cross Blue Shield Small Group quote. So I wouldn't recommend going to UHC. If you, you know, just want to see the quote we have in there as well. Yes.
There are no industry groups that have like a group contract across libraries, for instance.
Like libraries that band together to get.
Yes.
We don't, at One Digital, we currently don't have that. To be honest, it usually is not a great deal. Libraries in general are a little bit older, a little bit risk averse, but we don't currently have any.
There
your
is
firm doesn't, or there aren't.
There is one that Katie and I have talked about that would be an option for the future.
The future is now. What?
We just found out about it.
Which one is that?
I don't remember the name of it.
Excuse me, Wellness Insurance Network. Then there's IPPC.
IPPC, I've heard of. When you go to that type of arrangement, you just don't have a lot of say about your plans. So you have to kind of offer what they're offering. And I'm going to guess they're not going to offer what you guys are offering.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it's not part of the services that you would have worked at for us.
We don't currently have any library associations or anything like that.
Okay, so you, as a broker, your firm doesn't work in the industry. You only work with specific providers of healthcare.
Well, we work with specific providers of healthcare. We do have different captive solutions and different self-funded solutions, but they're for much larger groups. So unfortunately, this would meet like the minimum for any of those types of benefits. So no, but we don't have a specific like library group or a different group that you could join.
Do you have other library clients?
I specifically do not anymore. Actually, I've been going up market a little bit. I've hung on to this library because I love it so much. We have groups from all different types of industries. And the libraries that we do have in the Chicagoland area, they are in either the mid-market or the small market. They are within the market, and they're all with Blue Cross, actually, interestingly enough. That is a very valuable carrier in Illinois. That's who they're all with. Nonprofits, libraries, associations. It's very valuable to have Blue Cross.
Well, when I look at the insurance, it's a benefit to this employee, and we want to retain employees. And if you start messing with the insurance, and then it's a non-incentive to work here if the costs are going up so much for the staff. So, you know, looking at this with the Blue Cross Blue Shield, $2,000 to retain staff divided by how many staff members doesn't seem like a lot of money.
Well, most of the, and I did notice that most of the employees are employee-only coverage, and then they're covering the cost of their family. So we need to take a look at that. And not all the employees are taking the insurance. Mm-hmm. We also have a lot of part-timers. So we need to take a look at that, who's covered, and what the library is paying for them. It's mostly for single coverage. You know, not everyone is taking it. So I think that definitely helps.
So the cost center down here is what? So for example, what we're paying now for the HMO, who would manage HMO, mm-hmm. count is 10, 892.19.
Mm-hmm.
That's yes. what we're paying per
single, yes.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
But we had a different number on our paperwork, on our budget.
We had like 380,000 because you have to factor in any employee that could be potentially offered insurance. So we would not expend that because some employees chose not to take insurance. They're on their spouse's insurance.
I just remember like a number like 17 something, almost 1800 on every line item, whether you had PPO or HMO. You know, kept the people with them. So I thought that's what we were paying.
The 1,083.39.
Yes.
So that's the HMO employee only number.
Right.
For the new
for rate. The new yeah, for the new rate. And then that's deducted from every coverage tier for HMO, PPO, HSA, and then the both PPO plans, and then the employee pays the difference per month. And obviously it's split between two
for the PPO.
For all PPOs. Mm-hmm. And the HMO tiers that are not employee only.
It's basically our copay with the employee. $1,083. We're paying $1,083 regardless of the coverage deal. Or I should say that's what the proposal is, that we pay $1,083.
Correct.
Regardless of what type of insurance they deploy. Whether it's family or single. Just for argument's sake, not that I'm going to propose this, but if we elected to no longer play insurance and just drop the plan altogether, people would be eligible for COVID, correct?
If you no longer have a group plan, there's nothing to close off. So if you decided not to do this anymore, then all the employees would either have to go to healthcare.gov or get insurance for their spouses. So you're not going to close off.
So you can only get COBRA if you have an active insurance plan.
Correct.
And that's usually for the individual who terminates their employment.
Mm-hmm.
And the group is
right.
still out there, but the,
yes.
right, and they decide to pick up.
So the group goes away.
And that's to say the employee is even married, because there are single employees here. So.
Do you have anything additional we have?
No, we just have the ancillary, which the ancillary benefit for renewals looks a lot better. So, you know, that I just included information on that. And then if you did move to small group, I did put the dental rates for the most comparable dental plan that Blue Cross has, small group wise, so those rates do go up a little bit, but if we renew in mid-market and we keep the ancillaries as is, there was no increase to the ancillary rates.
We cover dental for the employee?
Yes,
we cover and then the family, they take care of it.
Mm-hmm. We cover the employee only portion of dental.
So everyone gets dental then? Every employee?
Well, not for free.
No, but I mean, every government offers
yes.
dental.
Yeah. Full-time.
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 Is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Only full-time employees are eligible for healthcare and dental benefits.
Madam Chair, I think I've heard enough, and I will make a motion to approve our current health insurance plan. Because It's a benefit to the employees. If they have to go looking for new doctors or change medications, that will upset our employees, and if they can't work as well as, they won't be able to work as well as they can if everything goes along the same. So that's my motion.
Second. Any discussion?
I'd just like to say that I'm not thrilled by it, but what compelled me was the history, which I appreciate seeing the history of this. Increases should be expected. This year's was not good, but I understand the history and I understand the why of it and what the most likely alternative would be expected to have stiffer increases every year.
Anybody else? Yes, Joe?
I'd like to make a motion to amend the motion on the floor to include a copay amount on the part of the employee. I honestly can't see absorbing a 25% increase in premiums. And I would suggest that the library have a copay amount of the basic coverage equal to 20% of the premium.
Is that something we can discuss when we're doing the budget? Or does that have to be approved now? We're just talking about
he's making a motion to amend. So
I just want to make sure I understand.
You can do it. Lynn's question was, is that a decision that has to be made now, or is now just approving the plan, or is that a discussion that can be made at like a later
time? I thought that's what I said, right? We're just approving the insurance plan, the numbers is part of our budget. We can do that a different time. So we're just approving the plan. That's what they made a motion, and I second.
And then Joe put out the amended motion of 20% of the premium.
No one has seconded Joe's motion, so just allow people an opportunity to second his motion.
I'm going to second it because I want conversation.
It is not unusual for employees, regardless of the industry, to be paying a portion of their health care coverage costs. And I think we have reached a point where the increase, even if it only goes up 5% again next year, which is unlikely, is a big increase that I think we're at the point where there has to be a shared responsibility for bearing that cost.
I don't know what other libraries are offering. They're offering creation.
Can I quickly make a comment?
Yes.
Okay. So in regards to the 20%, if that is something that would be done for employee only for HMO, then it would only be fair to be consistent across all the other plans. And right now for PPO, with just deducting employee only the $500, deducting the $1,083, it'd be over $200 a paycheck. So if we were to do, you know, making employee only HMO pay a premium and it was across the board, you're looking at a higher PPO premium for employees as well.
Well, it would be about a $100 payroll increase.
Not for
Madam Chair, I'm going to call a question. This was a discussion among trustees, and I'd like to get a vote on the amended motion.
Okay, so the amended motion is paying the 20% premium. Do we want to do a roll call on that?
Yes.
Okay.
This is more of a budget issue than 20%.
Okay. We're going to do a roll call.
Okay, so this is for the amended motion.
The amended motion that the employee would pay a 20% premium of the basic.
I don't know what that number is officially, so.
Yep, it would be $2,216 $216 based on
a month. Yes, but what Katie was saying is that if you increase the HMO, this the 1083 at 20%, then every other level has to be increased by 20% as well.
And then, not to mention, you know, if you were to apply it to HMO only, you're paying about $100 paycheck. Mm-hmm. What's the incentive of having HMO versus?
And I'm not arguing it either way. I'm just making sure everybody's aware.
There's a motion and a vote.
Let's have a roll call on the amended motion.
For the amended motion, Trustee Barry.
No.
DeCarl.
No.
Mr. Smith.
No.
Sias. No. Olson.
Yes.
Boyer absent. Daney absent.
Okay, so we go back to the original motion. Dave said yes. Linda Darda. Linda DeSchmidt. Seconded.
It's me, you're nice.
Now, that was somebody I worked with before. It's an ALD, that's what I was like.
It's okay. Thank you.
Roll call on
the original motion.
The original motion.
Trustee Barry.
Yes.
DeCarl.
Yes.
DeSchmidt.
Yes.
Sias, yes. Olson.
No.
Boyer absent. Daney absent.
We want the insurance to be an incentive for our staff, future staff. If we start taking benefits away, we're going to lose people. And we know the mess we were in before with that. So to do that, again, we certainly don't want to go through that. We have a great staff here. We love you all. And we want to be sure that you're part of the family.
Thank you, Ms. Jennifer Erickson.
Yes, very good presentation.
Very good presentation. And we appreciate everything that you do for us. I know that you and Katie talk quite a bit, and you've always been available, and we really appreciate you going to bat for us.
Thank you.
And feel free to go home.
Thank you. Thanks. Yes. Sounds good.
So the next item is the discussion approval of the health insurance plans.
We just did that.
So that's it. Okay. That one's done. Discussion approval of wages and salaries.
Yes, so we wanted to get this approved now so that we could start working on evaluations so that we can have everything in place for July 1st. So on your first page of your budget, the salaries are broken down by department. Katie, correct me if I'm wrong, but we increased the librarians who were not benchmarked last year, because we remember we're doing a 3-year tier, possibly 4-year tier, of trying to get everybody up to a more competitive pay rate. So we increased the librarians. I don't think that they're at the midpoint. They're at somewhere between the beginning point and the midpoint, depending on where, you know, how many years they have and what have you. We created a full-time public relations assistant, and we have taken a part-time assistant and made that position a full-time position. And then we also increased the facility assistant positions because it's been very hard to find skilled laborers to take care of our building. So you should have the information in the budget, and we're just looking for approval of the salaries and wages tonight.
Madam Chair, I'll bring a motion to approve the proposed salary increases.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? Joe?
Can you tell me how the weighting was done for a couple of the positions that are part of the increase that haven't been mentioned?
Are you speaking to about the librarians, or?
No. This motion on the floor is to approve all of the wages increases.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
We only talked about the librarians.
No, we talked about the facility assistants. Those were increased.
He's talking about merit increases.
There's a position in the administration that's being adjusted.
No, not in administration, in tech services.
I'm sorry. I guess I was looking at one of your schedules that Katie had prepared that showed the comparisons and had highlighted what I assumed were the ones that were being adjusted. That's
Are you referring to this paperwork?
No. There was a wide spreadsheet that you did.
I think we got it at the board meeting in April. It was given just before the meeting.
Are you talking about this one?
It's the one that listed all the positions.
The benchmark?
Benchmark, yes.
With the different surveys that were used?
Right. And then weightings.
Okay. So these surveys, they were listed at the very bottom of the spreadsheet. So we used all HR source surveys, 2024 library survey, public library supplemental report, using selected comparable libraries, and then the 2024 Metro Chicago Compensation Survey. The reason why that one was used is because some positions, such as IT manager, custodian, HR, that can be seen obviously outside of library world. And so they were distributed evenly, so they were all evenly weighted. As you can see by the weight, either 25 for four of them, there was 16.67, they're all given the same weight.
Okay, there was a position for the HR generalist, I'm sorry, not HR generalist, the business office specialist. That was a combination of...
Yes, so you're referring to this because it says business manager 75%, bookkeeper 25%.
She was part of that that position was part of the benchmarking last year.
But the reason why you see the percentages on the highlighted ones is because it goes based off of what the job duties are on the survey. Like, it'll list the position and what that position does. And so because the business office generalist does mostly business manager stuff and some bookkeeper stuff, that's why it's weighted the way it is. Same thing as the ILL and tech services assistant, facility manager, maintenance worker, material handler. That's why those are percentage-wise.
Okay, but this particular position that I mentioned isn't part of what's being adjusted this year.
Correct.
Thank you.
Okay, so we had a motion made and then seconded.
And this is just discussion. This is just on the wages and salaries, not the employee handbook.
Correct.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Wages and salaries. No other discussion? Okay, roll call, please.
Trustee Barry.
Yes.
DeCarl.
Yes.
DeSmit.
Yes.
Sias, yes. Olson.
Yes.
Boyer absent. Danny absent.
Okay. Any other old business?
I just want to mention that I have not received any questions regarding the employee handbook. Therefore, I am assuming that there are none, and our May meeting should be quick and approval fast and easy.
Well, I had some because I asked you to send them to me, my questions.
I sent you.
Yeah, the answers. So those are questions.
Oh, I thought that was more towards...
No, they're questions. Questions with parental leave.
Oh, yeah, I sent that to you.
Yeah, I think we still need to discuss it, but it's not on the agenda. So.
I just want to remind people, I need questions to respond.
Okay, so you want literal questions.
Any question that you have regarding the employee handbook?
Because I had a question and you sent me the information, but it's still in question.
We're just saying so that if we have questions coming up at the meeting, so we can bring the proper documentation.
Gotcha.
We're not sitting here saying, we don't know that right off the top of our head.
Gotcha.
If we know what you're looking for, then we can bring any documentation we need to the board meeting.
Gotcha.
Okay, so no new business.
No new business.
No town hall.
Thank you. We already.
I'm sorry.
Motion for adjournment.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, let's do a roll call on that.
Trustee Barry.
Yes.
DeCarl.
Yes.
DeSmit.
Yes.
Sias, yes. Olson.
Yes.
Boyer and Danny absent.
Okay, 6:50 p.m. meeting adjourned. Thank you, staff, for being here.
Thank you very much, everybody.